It's time for ER 101 with expert guests provided by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101, where we give you the 411 on your 911. In the medical news of the week, a company came out and talked about an app, potential app, with an implantable device, and medical apps are just booming. Supposedly, tens of thousands of them are now available on our smartphones. So we're going to talk to our expert about the pros and cons of medical apps and what you should look for. So I want to welcome back a guest, a frequent guest on the show, Dr. David Ross. He is an emergency physician in Colorado Springs at the Penrose St. Francis Healthcare System. He serves as the medical director for a wide variety of EMS and fire agencies located on the Kansas border. He's very active in their statewide trauma system and EMS activities. He was a former chair of the National Public Relations Committee for ASEP. So, Dr. Ross, welcome and thank you for being here again.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it is pretty interesting. There was a company that reported this week out of, I think, Switzerland that has a little teeny, like an implantable little lab that you put in your bloodstream, and it collects a certain number of blood tests. And one of the blood tests, I think it could look at glucose and monitor that, and your hemoglobin A1C and see how your diabetes is going, but it also was monitoring troponins. And for our audience, that's a blood chemical that's released when the heart is damaged. And they were sort of reporting that it could notify you that you were starting to have a heart attack before you knew. My feeling of troponin is it takes several hours to show up. It doesn't peak for 16 hours. Sometimes if you're having problems, you should be into the ER before that time. But I, you know, wanted to springboard from that and talk about, you know, medical apps in general and what people can trust. I've seen urgent care apps where, you know, you pay a certain amount of money, you want to talk to a doctor. So what do you think about this explosion?
Well, I think that the potential is good for the most part, but they have their problems. And I think back to, you know, prior to the explosion of smartphones and the apps that go with them, this started to happen. This kind of information, medical information, started first on the internet. And I can think of personal acquaintances of mine who went to the internet to seek out information about symptoms they were having, and occasionally, you know what, they were wrong. and so I think that is the danger of smartphone applications, is that unfortunately for a lot of the people maybe who, you know, like our insurance carriers who would like to do away with doctors and the expense of doctors, what we get paid to do is to use our brains to interpret what these tests mean and what they don't mean and all of the conflicts that come to bear on that. That's really what we do. They haven't figured out a way to get around that part yet. And so that's the downside, I think, of all of these things.
Yeah, and I agree. Well, a couple things. Absolutely, it's like the internet. You have to look at the source. You have to check things out with a couple sources. So I think that's important. And there are different types of apps, I guess. The FDA said they're planning on regulating them, which would have potential risks to patients. I mean, there are some clearly, I think, consumer-oriented apps with health and wellness. You know, you can track your calories. Mm-hmm. You can look up you know, medical things that have to do. I mean, one, I think you could attach a cuff and get your blood pressure. You know,
sure.
I don't know how well that really would work. But those kind of apps that are sort of health and wellness, you know, I think just check your sources. But then there are actual apps for doctors that are transmitting medical information, cardiac rhythms, things like that. And that's what I think the FDA really wants to regulate. Because if you think about it, if a doctor is even depending on this app, you know, you have to make sure that it works. You know, I know people kind of balk, oh, another thing that the FDA has to look at. They're having enough problems following up with what they already do. But
Well, and I mean, there's that piece of it, and the FDA is so backlogged, and, you know, so if you get into the FDA cycle looking for approval, it could be a graveyard for quite a while. I know some folks who are developing medical devices are in that right now. But, you know, I think that it's very complicated. I think I do know of medical apps that are for doctors and nurses, and, you know, you do have to, even those of us that use them, you have to take them with a grain of salt. But, you know, we're used to seeking information in other ways, from books and other sources, and, you know, you kind of you have to understand where it's coming from and what the strength of the claim is, the evidence is, for what you're going to do or not to do as a doctor. But again, we've done this for a long time. It's a little tougher on consumers. But I agree with you. There's the health and wellness apps generally are pretty benign and useful. But the for example, the case of the company from Switzerland, that's a little different story. I don't really have a problem with the glucose monitoring piece. I think that if you are a well-trained diabetic and you know where your limits are for your glucose is because your doctor or others have trained you in that, that's one thing. But when you get into other tests, such as you mentioned, like the troponin, there's a lot of judgment involved in that as to what it means. You know, and I agree with you that I would hate to see something like that cause somebody to delay care when they really should have, you know, sought it out some time before. And that's the downside
to
that.
I agree. You know, just seeing the troponin and, you know, doctors pontificate on that blood test of, you know, what it means. That's why we do. We put people in the ER and watch them and follow it. And it isn't just one troponin level. And even though it's monitoring something in your body and it's going it through Bluetooth, I think then they talked about transmitting that information to the doctor. And for something life-saving like a heart attack, to transmit that to the doctor, I don't even think our cell phone coverage is there yet, right? I mean, how many times have you been on the cell phone and the calls dropped or you hit an area, one place, another place? So until we get that worked out, I think for a life-saving app, you got to wonder about that.
Well, and just coming back to the troponin, I work, as you mentioned at the beginning, a lot with EMS agencies, and there's been some talk about adding the capability of monitoring troponin for EMS people, paramedics, ambulances, that kind of thing. And we're very, very reticent to do that even because of some of the diagnostic controversies with troponin. And that's with, you know, a branch of medicine, essentially, you know, EMS personnel who do have knowledge. Even there, we're a little bit reluctant about that. In fact, I'm a lot of bit reluctant about that. So I think that if we're worried about that in, you know, sort of a healthcare professional, we should be concerned about some of these tests in the hands of the patients because it frankly is very complicated. I much prefer just, you know, if you're having chest pain that you think could be concerning for a heart attack, that's what you need to know. And you need to go to your ER and get checked out rather than depending on just, you know, a blood test marker, which may or may not mean you're having a heart attack.
Right. I mean, it can't be, I totally agree, it can't be just something alone. I mean, it was very interesting, and the idea that you have a little implantable device that's monitoring your blood and essentially, you know, performing tests on it. And then you think about the length of time that that little device works. You know, what if it's at the end of its battery life, right? And now you're counting on that for your troponin level to tell you if you're having a heart attack. I agree. I think we're getting there. These mobile phones can practically do everything today now, but I'm not so sure that we're there yet. But I want to thank my guest, Dr. David Roth, for being on the show.